Ashtapreshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chevam Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayet Krishne Svadamo Pagate Dharma Gyanari Visaha Kalo Nashta Drisham Mesha Purnarko Dunoditaha Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyam Ekam Amala Gyanam Param Giyate Tatra Gyana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam Naishkarmyam Avishkritam Tachchin Van Supatan Vicharana Paro Bhakti Vimuchyennaraha Shlokam ekam tadardam va Param padardam eva va Shradavanyo nushunayat Punat yatmanam eva saha Sarva vedanta saram hi Shri Bhagavatam mishyate Tadrasamrita triptasya Nanyatra syadrati kuchit Krishna tulya bhagavata Vibhu sarvashray Pratishloke pratyakshare Nana artakai Adimadhyante bhagavate kai Vishnu bhakti nitya siddha Akshaya avyay Premamaya Bhagavata Krishnera Sri Anga Tahate Kahena Yata Gopya Krishnera Anga Mahapuran Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Vande Ham Shri Guru Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Cha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Paschacayati Shatarane Radhasanmukha Samsaktim Saki Sangha Nivasinim Tamaham Satatam Vande Guru Rupam Param Sakim Yankali Rupa Sharira Nadharata Tan Braja Prema Mahanati Kutarika Konkapata Ukarata Shri Rup Shri Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath Echai Gosair Kari Charanan Vandan Jahoite Bignanash Abhishta Puran Vanchakopa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Himava Divyachcha Visundaraya Tasmai Maha Primarasa Pradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Pallavi Varanam Bhoja Malane Nritya Shalane Nama Pranatta Palaya Sri Krishnaya Namo Namaha Shiman Rasarasarambi Vamshi Vatatata Sitaha Karshan Venuswaner Gopir Gopinatha Shriyestunaha Mahabhava Sarupa Tvam Krishna Priya Priyasi Prima Bhakti Prade Devi Gopinatha Shriyestunaha Radhike tvam namaham yaham Pajami radham Aravinda netram Smarami radham Madurasmitasyam Vadami radham Karanaparardram Tato mamanyasti gatirnakapi Tato mamanyasti gatirnakapi Jai Jai Shri Radhe Jai Jai Shri Radhe Jai Jai Shri Radhe Mahapuran Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Reading from the beautiful sacred love story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, and his divinely beautiful, charmingly attractive, sweet, tender, and talented gopi lover, Srimati Radharani, Ladini Shakti Mahabhav Sarupini Radha. On that beautiful full moon night of the Sharad season, everything was perfectly adjusted by the will of the Lord and the interaction of his antaranga spiritual potency, Yogamaya. All of Braj became charming. All of Braj Mandal became charming, attractive, and beautiful. And Krishna felt romantic desires arise in his heart, stimulated and excited by the full moon, the blossoming flowers, white Komodi flowers blossoming at midnight in the Yamuna, and the fragrance of blossoming Malika flowers. It soothed and enlivened and inflamed Krishna's senses and heart. Yes, I want to dance, but I don't want to dance with anyone of this world. I only want to dance with my eternal consorts, my Nitya Premis, my Nitya Premi Bhaktas, the Brajaramanis, the gopis of Braj. Yes. And then Krishna played his flute, Jago Kalam. And all those beautiful damsels, those coward maidens, coward girls of Vrindavan, the Brajaramanis, they heard the flute song of Krishna and they became mesmerized. They became captivated. They dropped everything and ran to the forest, to Jamuna Pulini, the banks of the Yamuna, to dance the night away in loving joy and amorous bliss with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is Rasa Panchadhyaya, the Rasa Lila, the Dasama Skanda, Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 29 to 33. We're discussing verse number 3. Tristva Kamudvantam Akanda Mandalam Ramanaram, Ramanaram, Nabham, Navakun Kumarunam, Vanam Chatat Komala, Gobirashchitam, Jago Kalam Vama, Drishamanoharam, Jago Kalam Vama, Drishamanoharam. When Krishna saw the Akanda Mandalam, Purnamasi, Akhandamandalam, the full orb, the complete orb of the full moon, rising in the sky in Vrindavan, tinting everything with a beautiful kunkum reddish color. It appeared to Krishna that this is a very romantic metaphor. Images of romance are arising in my mind. I see a husband and I see a wife. The husband is the moon and the wife, the wives are the stars, and the wife is the eastern sky, Purva Dig, and her face is beautifully colored red by the husband returning from a long absence, Dirga Darshanaha. And I take shelter of my flute and I play my flute in such an enchanting way, such a romantic way, such a magnetic way, that the gopis run from their homes in Barsana, come all the way to Vamshivat to dance with me under the Sharad Purnima, the Akanda Mangalam. This is the translation. And this is the verse now, verse 3, the Nayaka, the heroines, the gopis are being introduced. Krishna, then the setting, and now the Braja gopis. What do we find out about who are the heroines? It doesn't say they're gopis in Sanskrit. It doesn't say they're sakis. It describes them Vamadrisham. Vamadrisham Manoharam. It describes, we'll get to that, this little head of the game, Vamadrisham Manoharam. It describes the physical beauty of these gopis. Vamadrisham, they're charming. Vamadrisham. Drisham means drishti. Their eyes were charming, dancing side to side. And that's their physical description of their transcendental forms. Their eyes were dancing with anticipation, glittering with love, shining with Krishna's form in their heart. And then their minds, the body and the mind. So we hear the description of their eyes of the Nayaka Nayana, the eyes of the Nayak, the eyes of the heroine. And what is she thinking? Is she thinking of the beloved? Manoharam. She's thinking so much. Her mind is so much possessed and captivated by the lover that her mind gets stolen by the lover. Manoharam. 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 So we hear that Krishna will play his flute. Jagokalam Manoharam. Jagokalam Manoharam. Who Manoharam? The Vamadrisham. He plays his, the hero plays his flute so seductively, so alluringly, so captivatingly, that the heroine, oh, that's my beloved. I know he's a flautist. He plays the flute so expertly. In fact, I hear my name in the flute. And Radha runs, Lalita runs, Vishakha runs. And their eyes are so charming and dancing with love. These are the first introduction in the Rasa dance. The eternal dance of spiritual love. Verse 3, the Nayakas are introduced. And now let's go back to the setting. Kamudvantam. Kamudvantam, we were discussing yesterday about the Kamud flower. It's a very extraordinary type of lotus. There are different varieties of lotuses. And this is another unique characteristic of Brajabhumi, that mystical playland of divine love. Brajabhumi, Vrindavan, is that mystical and enchanting playland of divine love. It's only a place of play. If someone comes, some rakshak, Putana, Agasura, Bakasura, etc., Keshi and Kaliya, they come to break the play. And when children are playing, there's nothing they dislike more than someone to come and say, stop playing, take your dinner. The mother comes in the evening. Stop playing. Do your homework. Oh, be quiet. Just ignore her. Keep playing. Because play is fun. Play is love. Play is joy. Life is meant for play. But all we do is struggle and work hard and die. Vrindavan is the divine, is the mystical land, enchanting land, where there is play throughout the day, from morning, noon, and night. This is Vrindavan. Krishna's Lila Purushottam. He's not Karma Purushottam. Karma Purushottam Bhagavan. No, no karma for him. He's not Bhagavan. We meet Indian people and say, what are you doing? Oh, Swamiji, I'm doing my karma. Are you doing your karma or you're doing your harm? Karma and harm. And is your karma in harmony with God? Because if your karma is not in harmony with God, your karma is doing you harm. Because karma means work or actions. And if they're ungodly or disconnected with God, then they will hurt you. They will create pain for you now and in the future. And that means they will harm you. H-A-R-M. It's a beautiful joint venture between Hindi and English. Karm and harm. Don't hurt me with your karm. Let's get together and agree on something and have harmony. Integration. Win-win. So this kamut flower is very special, only grows in Vrindavan, makes it even more enchanting. There is a land. There is a place that appears to be in India, although it's a Prakriti Dham. A Prakriti Dham Shri Dham Vrindavan. It is transcendental. It is divine. It is God's playground. God has his cricket field. That's Ayodhya. That's where he works. Or that's his, let's say, God is government, God's government, and where he makes laws and holds up the laws and punishes the lawbreakers. Maryada Purushottam Bhagavan Sri Ram Chandra Ki Jai. If there's no law, there's no peace. If there's no peace, there's no happiness. And there's no happiness, there's no play. So first Ramachandra came in Treta Yuga and he put everything together. He devastated the demons and Rakshak, made everybody follow the law, everybody become God-fearing, follow the laws of God. Then Ramachandra set the stage so then Krishna could come and play. The municipal government makes a playground. There are a bunch of old men and they get some money together from taxpayers. They make payers and they make a nice playground for the children. Slides and sandbox and basketball and so many things, cricket field, many things. But they don't play there, they're politicians. Their play is something different. So the playground is for the children. They make the playground and the children will come and play. It's very simple. So Ramchandra comes and prepares the playground. Because if you're playing and a bunch of demons come and try to eat you, it's no fun. So this Krishna is the play lord, and Vrindavan is not a place where you fight Ravana. It's not a place where you fight Shishupal and the Kauravas. It's a place where you embrace the gopis and frolic and play with the coward boys and interact in love with your mother and father. It's where when God wants to play, he comes to Vrindavan. When God wants to play and wants to play intimately with his devotees, with his liberated souls, he becomes Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And where does he play? In Vrindavan. Where does he make laws and crack heads and establish dharma? Yada yada hi dharmasya. Kurukshetra, Ayodhya, Dandakaranya Forest, Sri Lanka, etc. These are the arenas of battle for the Vishnu expressions of the Lord, the Ramchandra and Krishna in this Aishwarya mood of Bhagavan, Kurukshetra, Dwarka. But the Madhurya Mayi Krishna, Madhurya Mayi Prema Mayi, Madhurya Mayi Prema Mayi Bhagavan, Sarvavatari Bhagavan, same Aishwarya Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan, the same Parameshwara Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, the same controller, creator, everything, Krishna, who spoke Gita. He has another aspect called his Madhurya, Madhurya Mayi Bhagavan. Aishwarya, Madhurya Mayi combined. That's his sweetness, that's his love, that's his ladini, his joy. When he's expressing his aspect or his energies of establishing law and order, that's his Sandini Shakti at work. And then his Samvit Shakti, employing knowledge and existence potency and a balancing and adjusting the world and the universe. And sometimes there's some ladini shakti, loving exchanges with Sita Devi or with Rukmini or Satyabhama and Krishna Leela and Dwarka or Ram Leela in Ayodhya with his consort, his Patni Sita. But Krishna Leela is only madur. It's only sweet. Everything's sweet. And it's only ladini shakti. Everything already exists. Balaram and all his expansions, they create the holy dham. And all his parikars, nitya, eternal associates are there, nitya parishads, and Krishna enjoys. So kamud vantam, the acharyas have very nice. This kamud is a night blooming lotus flower. This is amazing. Nowhere on the planet you'll find at midnight, under the influence of the full moon, this a white lotus flower, white like the moon, growing in the Yamuna or any river anywhere, opens up. It's a phenomenon. It's the eighth wonder of the world. We heard the seven wonders of the world. They have different architectural buildings and whatnot. But this is an amazing thing. Search the world over. You'll not find a white lotus that blossoms at midnight. There are white lotus flowers. Go to Bengal, go to Orissa, you see white lotus flowers. But they blossom in the day. When the sun goes down, they close. I've seen in Orissa, I've seen in Bengal, I've seen in South India. Safed Kamal, white lotus flower. It's white, the petals are white. So that establishes the unique charm, the uniqueness, the charm and speciality of the Kamud. It says, Dristva Kamudvantam, when Krishna when he saw the white lotus flower, he said, oh, this is so beautiful. This is so wonderful. And why did he get so excited and so happy? Because he was realizing something very deep. In the lotus flower, he saw the kamud, and then, of course, and why does Krishna feel happy? Because there are prayers which glorify Krishna and call Krishna Pundarik Aksha. The white lotus flower is called Pundarik. It's called Kurmud, and it's called Kamud, Komodaki. There's one beautiful book written by one of our Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas, who is a Parishad of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that book is entitled Krishnanika Komudi. It's translated as the white lotus, the blossoming white lotus of Sri Krishna's Ashtakali Leela in Vrindavan. It's all about Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. Very beautiful book by Sripad Kavi Karnapur. Krishnanika Komudi. The Kumud or Komudi, the white lotus flower. So this book is about Krishna's name Komudi or Kumud. And we offer a Achman mantra which contains the name of Krishna describing him as a white lotus flower. That if we remember that Lord who is like a white lotus flower, we take on the qualities of a white lotus flower. A kamud. The qualities of kamud are, they're very beautiful to look at, they're very fragrant, and they're very enchanting because they appear at midnight. So we take on a special charm. So this kamud, this Krishna's name as a kamud flower, or Pundarik, is in an Achman mantra. Om apavitra pavitrova savavastam katopiva yaksmarit pundarikaksham sabaya byantara suchi Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. This is Achman mantra before doing Shalagram puja or Murti puja, Gopal puja, etc., Ram puja. Yaksmarit pundarikaksha. If one smaran, pundarikaksha smaran, pundarik means white lotus flower. If we remember Krishna, who is Pundarik or Vishnu, then whether we're outside or inside, whether we're clean or unclean, pavitram or apavitra or pavitra, whether we're bar or under, inside or outside, bar or bichme, we will become pure. So here, Krishna himself, Bhagavan, Vishnu, because it says Vishnu, Om Sri Vishnu, He is being glorified as Pundarikaksha, Kumud. Because one who remembers God always, satatam, smaran, he's always remembering God, then what happens? Something wonderful happens. Bhagavan, this is a comment on this word kumud. Kumud means flower, white lotus flower, blossoming at midnight only in Vrindavan. And kumud refers to Krishna. And we'll also hear how kumud refers to Radha. So first we're describing the characteristics of kumud flower, and how kumud flower relates to Krishna. This Rasleela is a love drama all about Krishna and all about Radha and the various interactions and interplay of various udipans, the moon and the sand and Yamuna and the flowers and the time of the year, Kaladeshan Patra, and the love and the stai rati of Madhurya Bhav, the permanent loving emotion of conjugal love or romantic love. So many factors make a love story, the time, the place, the setting, the characters, the hero, the anti-hero, the heroine, the hero, the scenes, the action, the dance, the conflict, the arguing, the laughing, and of course modern movies, the violence, murders, bombs, machine guns, the chase scene. So the gopis also had a chase scene. Every movie they call a chase scene where someone's running from someone. It's called a chase scene. The lover is running from a crazy person and the hero, and she's running to the hero's house to save her. Or let's call it a chase scene. Somebody jumps in their fast car and they run down and the police chase them. They're shooting, boom, boom, boom. You seen? It's called chase scenes. Yes, no? No, yes. It's going like this. So it all started with the Rasleela. Because the hero and the heroine, Krishna and Radha, met. So they were having their union on the banks. They were meeting, embracing, dancing. Very pleasurable, happy union. Then there were some arguments, some discussions, some differences of opinion, different viewpoints, disagreement. And then separation. There was conflict between the lovers. Hey! Oh. And then one lover disappeared, Krishna. And then there was a chase scene. Krishna disappeared, and the gopis, the Braja gopis, started chasing after him. It's called, the chapter is chapter 30, I think it's 31, where the gopis chase for Krishna. The gopis search for Krishna all through the forest and along the Yamuna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Oh, Tulsi Devi, where is Krishna? Oh, Punaga tree, where is Krishna? Oh, Jamuna, where is Krishna? Oh, Bhumimata, where is Krishna? So they're looking, searching. Running, they're running frantically. Where is our beloved? Krishna Kahan, Krishna Kahan. Kahangaya, Kahangaya, where did you go? It's a type of chase scene. But it's a love story, so there must be some type of chase scene. And is there a fight? Is there violence in this love story? Yes. Krishna and the gopis fight. Verbally. Like usual lovers do. Most real lovers fight verbally, but not physically. As that Achman mantra proclaims, Om apavitra pavitro va sarva vastam gatopi va sarva vas gata. Then what? Om apavitra sarva gatopi. Yaksma, wherever you're living, sarva vas, wherever you're living, or in the office, wherever you're staying, or gut, wherever you're moving, or whether you're impure or pure, whether you've taken a bath or not, remember God. Say, hey Bhagavan, hey Krishna. And Padma Puran is called Mantrasnan. Mantrasnan. You may be on a train, you're riding second class on the train, and the bathroom's crowded, or not working properly, or there's no shower, and you're a Brahmin traveling on the train, and you have to do your puja. And it's a long 50-hour train ride, South India to North India. I was on once, a train. 56 hours. Train. It's called the distress train. I didn't have enough money for the express train, so I got the distress, and it was really lived up to his name, because I was, for 56 hours, I was really in distress, from Cape Comer into Delhi or something. It's called the super slow distress train. 8888. Like this. So you know that's, be careful, that number. Because the number 8 represents infinity. In symbology or in psychology, the figure 8, two circles, represents infinity. So that was the name of, that was the number of that train. 8888. So it seemed like I was on that train for infinite time. I was on the train for infinite time because 56 hours is like 56 light years. So it was properly named the Distress Express. Obviously, that's some humor, but that's also necessary. So if we remember this Pundarikaksha, this Lord who's like a white lotus, why is he called? Why doesn't it say Krishna Smaran, Narayan Smaran, Vishnu Smaran? Because it's an Achman mantra. It says Om Shri Vishnu. It says Pundarikaksha. Because Lord Narayan or Lord Vishnu's eyes also resemble the white lotus flower, Kumud or Pundarik. And so do Krishna's. This is a characteristic of Bhagavan. Very expansive, very beautiful. And the sclera, the white part of the eye, is very attractive and moist and just radiant with a cool, soft glow of love and compassion. Karuna and Prem. Bhagavan's Prem and Karuna are in the whiteness of his eyes. So this is why he's compared to Pundarik, white lotus flower. Now, if we remember, not only, as I said, when the Brahmin is traveling on that special train, and he has to do puja, and there's no proper bathing facility, and it's extended. Then he takes what is called in Padma Puran a mantra snan. Mantra snan. There's a nadi snan, tirtha snan. You can take snan in a holy river, in a river, in a lake. Samudra snan. There's something called deva snan. What is a deva snan? It's a divine bath. And that's when it's raining. It's monsoon season, and the rain is falling very gently, no thunder, no lightning, just rain suddenly falls, and the sun is shining, like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The sky is mostly bright, but small drops of rain start falling. That's a very pure pavitra snan called deva, a demigod, a celestial bath. And sometimes you see a rainbow in those water droplets. It's a very beautiful experience. This is considered one of the types of bath or pavitram snan in Veda. Then I'm mentioning mantra snan. So that means when you chant the mantra, you become pure because you're remembering. When you chant the mantra, Vishnu mantra, Krishna mantra, then you're remembering Pundarikaksha, Smarit. Smarit means Smaran. When we remember God, not only when we want to take a bath and there's no water, hopefully there's water and we bathe three times a day. This is sattvic achar. But the point is, Krishna is called Kumud or Pundarik or white lotus flower because when we remember him, as this Achman mantra is saying, then we can also find white lotus representing the human being. Drishtva Kumudvantam Akanda Mandalam Ramana Nabham Navakun Kumarunam Vanam Chatat Komala Gobi Rashchitam Jagokalam Vamadrisham Manoharam Jagokalam Manoharam. This is the verse 29:3. The man and women, human beings of this world, they also have a white lotus flower within us. Within us there is one Kumud, white lotus flower. It's called the seventh chakra. The seventh chakra is called Sahasra Padma. Sahasra Padma Chakra. This is the white lotus that sits here on the top of the head, right under the Brahma Rantra. This is the top, the seventh chakra, the final, the head chakra, the brain chakra, the integrating unit that harmonizes all the other chakras. Sahasra Padma is compared to a 1,000-petal lotus. And the other six chakras, energy centers, these are centers of psychic energy and where the pancha prana are concentrated and suffused with consciousness. Depending on the quality of the consciousness, that degree and intensity of conscious energy from the Atma suffuses the pran. You can say integrates and mixes with the pran in seven locations, from the Muladhara chakra at the base of the spine and all the way up to the solar plexus, what we call solar plexus in science, and up to the heart, throat, the trikut, or the Agya chakra, and finally the Sahasra Padma, the seventh one. So these are energy centers where pran and consciousness, chit shakti and pran combine, then they're spread and emanated within the purview of that chakra. So yoga, pranayama, and meditation are all about balancing the chakras and energizing the chakras, and then utilizing the chakras for maximum performance, maximum physical, mental, and transcendental or spiritual performance. This is the science of yoga, which some people have studied and followed. So now, how does this apply to bhakti yoga? Now we're at the seventh chakra. The kamud, drishtva kamudvantam, represents the Sahasra Padma chakra, the white lotus at the top of our skull with 1,000 petals. When a jeev, tatastha shakti jeev, one of the kala, rupa kala, one of the expansions of God in this maya jagat, we jivas, we tatastas, we're all jivatmas, particles of living personal consciousness emanated from the heart and body of the Lord, parts and parcels of God. When we start remembering God, Krishna, Ram, Vishnu, then God enters our heart and He enters our mind. And the more we remember God, hour to hour, day to day, minute to minute, that Sahasra Padma begins when we are in material consciousness, when we are a material Indriya Sukh consciousness, selfish, greedy, desiring material sense pleasure, then our seventh chakra is like a lotus flower with no petals. It's like a kumud fool with no petals. It's simply dormant flower bud. It's called the bud of consciousness. The flower bud of the seventh chakra. It's closed. It's closed by tamagun. It's closed by rajagun. And it starts to open with sattvagun. Then it opens more and more and becomes vishuddha sattva, enlightenment. Brahman realized, Krishna realized, different stages of realization. But this chakra must open. Most people, the seventh chakra is only functioning, the chakra is giving energy to the material brain and material senses to make arrangements and facility for the senses to grab their objects of your objects of desire. Grab sounds, grab tastes, grab sounds, grab smells, grab tastes, grab with your hands, touch, smell, form, taste. Spiritual enlightenment or spiritual questioning or practices are not happening. So when Krishna sits in our heart, when Bhagavan sits in our heart, then the Sahasra Padma, the white lotus, the kumudi, or the pundarik of consciousness. This is called the seat of consciousness. The seat of consciousness, Sahasra Padma. It expands. The more we remember, each time we remember God, Vishnu Smaran, Ram Smaran, Krishna Smaran, then how do we remember God? Prahlad Maharaj tells 9 ways to remember God. Hear about God, chant about God, remember His Naam Gun Leela. Remember God's name, remember God's form, His Divya Kalevaram, transcendental form. Remember His transcendental qualities. Krishna has 64 qualities, divine spiritual qualities. And remember their Leela, Ram Leela, Ramayana by Valmiki, sage Valmiki, or Ramcharitamanas by Sant Tulsidas, or Krishna Leela, Srimad Bhagavat, Bhagavat Puran, or Vishnu Leela, so many Purans with Vishnu Leela. Primarily people worship Ram and Krishna in India and around the world, but many people worship Vishnu. So He has His Leelas, Srishti Leela, and Palana Leela. Vishnu maintains everything, Palana and Srishti, He creates everything, and Pralaya, He destroys everything. And after that, because after you work, what do you do? After you work, what do? You play. At least you're supposed to. Play computer games or whatever you do. If you're more personal type, you get some friends together and play cricket or tennis in open lot somewhere. Or you play cricket on your cell phone. As you choose. Depends on your swabha. You like machines, you play with machines. You like people, you play with people. Well, what are you doing? I'm playing cell phone games. Oh, you'd rather play with a machine than play with people. Because now they're developing computer programs so you can play with a machine called a female woman computer. You can have a woman on your computer and play with your computer and think that's nice. Or you can have a man on your computer. It's happening right now. It's called virtual reality, which means virtual, 100% illusion. That reality, already we're in illusion. Now you make a computerized version. We're in illusion. We're in illusion. Now you make a computerized version of illusion. Call it virtual reality illusion personified. No, virtual reality illusion mechanized. Computerized. I prefer to be an illusion with my physical wife and my physical husband. I want to be an illusion with my physical children and not my computer. The scientists are promising computers in the future. There's a whole female line of computers. Whatever kind of female you want, you buy that type of computer. 5'2", this, that, whatever. It's like ridiculous to speak like this, but actually people are spending billions of dollars to do all these things, as you know. Everyone who's listening to me knows that this is going on. And there's all kinds, they say, but you can have so-and-so, this and that, all these things. But can you really have love, really love, heartfelt, deep in your heart, can you feel love by loving your computer? By playing all kinds of romantic games on your computer? Can you really experience love? If you can, then congratulations. You are a human being. You are the crown of creation. Now you finally evolved and you developed the pinnacle of evolution. You become a machine. You become one. It's called Computer Sayujya Mukti. Computer Sayujya Mukti. At least people used to merge in Brahman. That's God's personal jyoti. Or they would go to Vaikuntha or Ayodhya Loka and serve the loving personal God. Oh, what is your goal in life, my sir? Yes, I'm taking up a spiritual path. I'm aspiring for Computer Sayujya Mukti. Acha. That's very nice. Hey, how do you do that? You just get inside those computers and don't come out. From the time you wake up till you sleep, Chobis Ganta Satin Subsal. Just computers, buy, dream, look, think, use, plan, trade, buy, sell. This is the modern world. We're laughing, but we're in it. We're laughing, but we're members of the laughing society. But we can get out if we try. There's another world. There's a real world where people love and live and breathe and touch each other and roll on the ground and play and dance and skip. There's no machines. That's the beauty of Vrindavan. There's no machines. Even in this modern Vrindavan, there's no electricity. It's a village, and like every village in India, if you're lucky, you get electricity every other week. Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't even have, he doesn't need, there's no, we don't need any shoe factory in Vrindavan. We need so many shoe factories to make all those beautiful, fancy shoes that we wear. Track shoes, dance shoes, play shoes, ballet shoes, every kind of shoe. High heel, low heel, no heel, every heel. In Vrindavan, there's no shoes. There's no shoe factory. Krishna doesn't wear shoes. What to do? There's no televisions? All right. There's a place in the world with no televisions? Yes. There's people that are happy without television? Yes. There's people that are happy without TV and cell phones? Yes. Believe it. It's actually true. Oh, what? Is this science fiction or something you're telling me? This is science fiction. Somebody can be happy without a cell phone and a stopwatch and a tape player and all these things. It's impossible. I've never met anyone like that in my life. Have you met? No. That's Krishna. That's Ramchandra. That's Vishnu. They're happy without all of it. And if we don't have it, we cry. Oh, mommy, I want a new phone. Oh, mommy, oh, daddy, get me this, that. We cry because we have no connection with God. So when We remember God and start serving Him in the nine ways Prahlad said, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, which I spoke in English. Then every time we remember God, that petal-less, that bud-like white lotus of our consciousness, Sahasra Padma Chakra, thousand-petaled lotus, white because white means purity. White because purity brings God. God is pure. White represents purity, godliness. Cleanliness, clean mind, clean clothes, clean heart. God is Pavitram Bhagavan. Atiyati Pavitram Bhagavan. So one who serves Bhagavan becomes Pavitram. In body, mind, and words. So now that white flower bud with no petals, every time you chant Krishna's name, remember Him, serve Him off of Artik, one petal appears on the Sahasra Padma. Then two, then three. As you become more absorbed in Bhakti Sadhana, Krishna Bhakti Sadhana, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, and Vandanam, Pujanam, Archanam. Then the consciousness starts adding petal after petal after petal. Then after some time, or maybe some lifetimes, then the Sahasra Padma, it blossoms, fully blossoms. It's no longer a closed flower bud. It's a utfula, kumud utfula. It's a blossoming, what? Fully beautiful blossoming flower with 1,000 individual petals. And each individual petal are all the different loving services that you've rendered to your Ishtadev throughout your life. It shines, it glows, it gives a beautiful fragrance, it's attractive, it's soft to the touch, beautiful to the eyes, satisfying to the nose. And when you smell, when you experience the white lotus of blossomed consciousness, when the Sahasra Padma Chakra fully opens, one feels unlimited joy. This is the kumud of consciousness. This is the kumud flower that's being discussed here by Shukamuni. Very beautiful. One word takes us from Goloka Vrindavan inside our head and beyond to the realm of beauty and love and God's eternal service. One word. Extraordinary. This is the fabulous insight of the great rishis and seers and rustic bhaktas of India. They see God everywhere, in a flower, in a moonshine. Kumud. And as I mentioned, this word kumud represents, in Indian culture, the lotus is a symbol of beauty and love. As every Indian knows, the lotus flower, the pink or red lotus or white lotus, it's generally considered a symbol of love and beauty in Vedic culture. Why? Because it's beautiful. The lotus flower, it grows in Hawaii, it grows in Thailand, it grows in special tropical places. It doesn't grow in Canada. It doesn't grow in America. Maybe in Florida, where it's warm. It's a very special flower. It has its own unique characteristics. How many flowers grow in the mud? Have you ever seen a flower? Of course, you're from the cities. You maybe never saw one. Have you ever seen a flower growing? Is it growing in land? Kumud? How many? There's hundreds and thousands of flowers. Are they all growing on the land? Go like this. Yes, because you maybe didn't see any. How many flowers have you seen growing in the water? Excuse me? I've seen two. Water lily. Land lilies are more common because the water is all polluted. Water lily, very beautiful flower, purple, white, yellow. Then there's the lotus. It grows from the water. There are thousands and thousands and unlimited flowers around this planet, tropical flowers and all kinds of flowers. Weeds, weed-like flowers, fragrant flowers, pungent flowers, herbal flowers, poisonous flowers, datura. Have you ever heard of datura fool? Does it sound familiar? Om Namo Shivaya. Om Namo Shivaya, Hidam Pushpam, Hidam Pushpam, Om Namo Shivaya. And you offer Datura Phool, or Ark of Phool, or Datur. They are flowers, they grow on the land, and they're poisonous. You eat them, and then Haribo, Om Namo Shivaya. You die. It's poison. Either you go crazy, or go crazy and die if you take enough. Therefore, the lotus flower is very unique. It grows in the water from the mud. Its birth is a muddy place. Water that's not moving, water that's still almost stagnant, like a lake, hardly moving anywhere, and full of black mud, lotus flowers love it. They grow from the mud, they come out, the stem grows through the water and comes out into the bright sunlight and blossoms. Pankaja. Pankaja means the blossoming white lotus flower, Pankaja. Pankaja, born from the mud, Pankajanma. So that's why the chakra, or the lotus of consciousness, is called the Sahasra Padma Chakra, thousand petals. Because that analogy also applies to the human beings. We are born, tamagunaja. We are born in tamagun, ignorance. And we have to gain knowledge through education. So we are born in the darkness and the mud, the kumu, this mud of ignorance, the panka, mud of ignorance. And we grow, young boy, a baby, young boy, young man, adult. And as we grow, what do? We learn, yes? We get educated, which means we acquire knowledge. So as you get educated, you come out of ignorance. You come out of the mud of ignorance and you go to the moving waters of Rajagun. Water moving in a river or in the ocean, it's moving. That movement represents Rajagun. But the mud at the bottom of the lake, the mud, the panka, the mud, dark, thick, black dirt, it's not moving. It's permanently settled. It's slow. It's immovable. It's earth. Tamagun represents slow, immobility, earth. So we're born in ignorance. This is all, that's obvious. And then we start moving. We're born, we're like a lump. We don't even move. Huh? Can't open our eyes. Can't even move anything. We're just this lump of flesh surrounding the jiva. Then we start moving, crawling. We enter the water, the waters of knowledge, the moving waters of knowledge, the river of knowledge, the vidyanadi, the river of knowledge, schools, science, geography, history, stars, everything, astronomy, geology, zoology, all kinds of subjects, math, BCom, medicine. So we're moving right along. You ask any student, where are you going? He says, I'm moving. I'm on the move. I'm going to this class. I'm going to that class. I'm going to the library. On the move. Moving in the waters of Rajagun, acquiring knowledge, learning. But still, the Sahasra Padma is closed shut. It's in the tama. It's in the panka. The white flower of consciousness is still asleep. So the Upanishads tell us, tamasi mam jyotirgama. Tamasi mam. You're in the tama. You're in tamagun. You're in the mud of ignorance. You're in the darkness of illusion. Bodily concept of life. Agama jyoti. Go to the light. The light of knowledge. Paravidya. The light of Bhagavad Gita. The light of Bhagavat Puran. This is desirable. So we gradually, most people get lost in the river of thought. Lost in the river of karma. Lost in the waves of karma. The karma samudra. The karmas compared to a samudra, the ocean of karma. And they just keep floating and tossing on the river, waves of the river and the waves, and the waves of the ocean, currents of the river, and Rajagun. And then still the consciousness, the white lotus of consciousness is closed. And finally, when we become enlightened, and the Sahasra Padma fills with knowledge, paravidya, spiritual illumination, and awareness of God as Brahman, or awareness of God as Paramatma, or awareness of God as Bhagavan, Ram, Krishna, then the lotus of consciousness begins to blossom with white. White means sattva. With a white light of consciousness, awareness of God, spiritual illumination. But where do we start? Pankaja, or chit. Chit started in ignorance, with birth. Then it went to Raja, then to Sattva, then Vishuddha Sattva. This is enlightenment. This is all part of the Kumud, flower, the white lotus of consciousness. So we remember white lotus-eyed Krishna, we become pure. And then our consciousness, our seat of consciousness, our seat of enlightenment. That's why Lord Shiva is depicted with three eyes. Daina Ak, Bhaya Ak, and Bichme, Upar Ak. That Upar Ak is the eye of consciousness, the eye of enlightenment. It represents the third eye. Because he's enlightened. He's self-realized. Shiva, he's absorbed in Ram, and Shankarshan Ram, his Ishtadev, Anantashesh, the spiritual form of Vishnu. So he has, that's why you've seen pictures sometimes, the third eye. It's not that he's deformed or something wrong with him, why he has three eyes. The question is, why don't we have three eyes? Shiva's right, he's correct, he's self-realized, he's fully 100% God-realized. And people worship him as God also. So he has three eyes. Oh, he looks strange. Oh, Daddy, why does he have three eyes? I only have two. Yes, my son. But if you follow the teachings of Lord Shiva and study the Bhagavad Gita and study the Shastras, you may also have three eyes. The third eye is the eye of the eye. When the white lotus of consciousness, this seventh chakra opens, then you can see who you are. I am soul, Atma, Aham Brahmasmi. And more than that, as my consciousness, the white lotus flower of my seventh chakra opens, I realize, yes, I am Brahman, I am spiritual. And I'm eternal, and I'm full of joy by nature, and awareness and cognizance. But I have a desire deep in the core of my heart for loving exchanges, for ras. So my heart reaches out to even a higher dimension, and my lotus flower expands even more and more. And then I have the idea of prema, Bhagavan ka prem, Ram prem. And then that's the fullest expression of the opening of the white lotus flower of consciousness. Bhagavat prem, Ram prem, Vishnu prem. So this flower represents that, and it represents Krishna, and represents God consciousness. So the Kumud takes us to that level. Now, another point I was saying, that this white lotus flower, it's white. Gori. Gori means fair, white. So what happens, this word Kumud is actually indicating the first, because this verse 29.3 is the first verse of the love story, the transcendental rasa dance, the first verse which introduces the Nayaka, the heroine or the heroines, introduces Radharani and the Brajagopis. So when in this drama of Rasalila, the gopis, the counterparts, the gopis of Krishna, Rasalila means Krishna dancing with the gopis. So we have Krishna, he's on the stage, there's three verses involving Krishna and his interaction with the beautiful landscape of Vrindavan. Now enter the heroines. Because you go to a movie and the opening scene might be some man. Have you ever been to a movie? Some man, he's walking on the beach. And he sits down, he's looking at the waves, and he's thinking, then the camera starts flashing back to his thoughts. Oh, these waves are carrying my mind to my past. I remember when I was in college. And he's sitting like this, and all of a sudden the scene changes, and it's called, Flashback. And then the movie's all about when he was in college, and he was playing cricket, and he was this all-star, and then it comes back, and he says, yes. At that sanskara, that experience of smelling the flowers, in your brain, right? Has anyone ever eaten a pizza? No? Yes. Do you know what it smells like? Has anyone ever eaten fresh bread? Yes. Really? So if you smell fresh bread somewhere and you're passing here and there around houses, will you remember fresh bread that you made when you were a kid or someone made? Because it's in your brain to remember that and rather like it. It's a positive samskara, liking samskara. So now, just go drift back into that samskara of a lotus flower, and you won't smell anything. So that shows you what kind of yogi you are. You just walk down the street, and you smell some bread, and you go crazy. Or rather, pizza. Oh, wow. That, oh, yeah. It's not offered. It smells like pizza. I'm interested. And so immediately we lose our consciousness in that smell. So that means we ordinarily do that. So we can also lose our consciousness in remembrance of a smell. And that's what dreaming is all about. We smell, hear, touch, feel everything in a dream, but the senses are closed. The mind is open, and you're experiencing. The senses only offer an impression to the mind. The mind experiences. There's a beautiful woman. She died 1 minute ago. So what will you experience? Nothing. Because the Atma is gone. The mind, her mind is gone. There's nothing. There'll be no movement, first of all. It's a corpse. There's no experience in bodies. The experience is in the mind. That's everywhere told. That's why some people preach. They say, reality is in your mind. No, the external world is also real, but temporary. The mind is eternal. The mind is eternal. It goes life after life. Does Radharani have a mind? Yes. She's spiritual? Yes. Will we get a spiritual body? Will we have a spiritual mind? Yes. The mind is eternal. Swapnamilas Amritam. Radharani kisses and dances with Krishna when she's awake, and she kisses and dances with Krishna when she's sleeping. She doesn't know, am I awake or am I sleeping? When I'm awake, am I sleeping, or I'm sleeping, I'm awake? She doesn't even know sometimes. Because it's all one transcendental phenomenon, experience. Dristva Kamudvantam. Seeing the blossoming Kamud flowers opening up under the full moon light. This first word, Kamud, actually refers to Radharani. Radharani is Krishna's eternal divine consort, his eternal lover, Mahabhasrupini Radha. So now she's made her appearance on the stage of the Rasa celebration, verse number 3, with this word Kamudvantam. Dristva Kamudvantam. It's translated Dristva Dristi, Deki. See the Kamud flower. It actually means to see Radharani. Now, what do the Acharyas say? Dristva Kamudvantam, when Krishna glanced on that night of the Rasa dance, Maharas dance and Sharad Purnima, when his glance fell upon the white Kamud flower, he saw the reddish rising full moon, he remembered two things. When he saw the moon, he remembered Radha, her kunkum anointed reddish, golden, beautiful, white, gory face, and he remembered the Kamud flower. So he saw himself. He also saw himself in the moon, Krishna Chandra. Because when Krishna dances with Rasarani, when Krishna dances with Radharani in the Rasa dance, then they dance cheek to cheek. Cheek to cheek. This is cheek. And there's some dancing sometimes like that. Then the red kunkum on Radharani's cheek goes onto Krishna's cheek. So when he saw the full moon in the first verse, and then the other verse that was said, kunkum adranena, the moon was tinged with red. His mind saw the reddish rising full moon in the autumn season, but his heart saw Radharani's face, and soon I will meet that Radharani who has a beautiful, gory-like, chandra-like face, and she will touch my face in the rasa dance, and then my face will be colored with the red kunkum powder, and moreover, my heart, the moon of my heart, that moon, the moon of my heart will be colored with Radharani's anurag. So all this symbology and imagery is woven. It's called Madhurya Mayi metaphors, is woven into the language chosen by Shukadeva Goswami. That's why when Vyasa Muni wrote the Puranas, he wrote 18 Puranas. One of the Puranas is called Srimad Bhagavatam. He finished Srimad Bhagavatam, he didn't feel happy. He felt despondent. Srimad Bhagavatam has 18 Puranas, including Bhagavatam. He met with his guru, "Oh Gurudev, I'm unhappy. I finished all the Vedas and Puranas, so many things, Vedanta Sutra, Vedas. I'm not happy. Although I wrote about Krishna Leela. I wrote about his Leela. I wrote this Dwarka Leela, Mathura Leela. But still I'm not happy. I wrote about Vrindavan Leela. In Vishnu Puran, I wrote about the Rasa dance in 40 verses. In Harivamsa Puran, I wrote about the Rasa dance in 25 verses. In other Puranas, I mentioned briefly or by shlok. I'm not happy. Oh, my friend, my disciple, Vyasa Muni, listen. Narada Rishi said, yes, you have written it, the Leela of Krishna in Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan in the Srimad Bhagavatam. However, you have to rewrite the book. You ever hear of writing a manuscript and editing and rewriting? You have to sit for another session and rewrite it. The Samacharyas say that the Bhagavatam was written in different places in India as Vyasadeva traveled here and there. He wrote a lot of it in Vyas Gufa, near Badrinath, right near the deity of Badrinath, Vishnu, in Himalayas. Then he wrote some of it in Guragaon, different places. Then the Acharyas say that he rewrote the 10th canto of Bhagavatam in Brajabhumi, somewhere near Panigat on the Vrindavan Parikrama Rasta, the Parikrama Marg, the circumambulation path of Vrindavan Dham, where Sevakunj Nidhiban, it goes along Yamuna, Keshigat, Panigat, etc. And there used to be, I haven't been there for years, I'm living here in Govardhan, but there used to be a small mandir there commemorating the Bhajan Stali of Srila Vyasadeva. And everybody on the path used to go around that and offer flowers or gehun, wheat berries, whole wheat, seeds or whatever, auspicious mangalam samagri, to honor Lord Srila Vyasadeva. It said that he sat there and there he rewrote the 10th canto. Because it's the Leela Bhumi, Leela Stali. It's told. Now, what was missing in his first rendition of the Srimad Bhagavatam, his first telling, was ras. Ras. That sweet ras in Braj, it's Vatsali ras and Sakhi ras and especially Madhuri ras, because the whole purpose of Bhagavatam is to describe the bhaktas, the beautiful expressions of devotion in various forms, karma mishra bhakti, gyan mishra bhakti, and then shuddha bhakti, then dasya bhakti, then shanta bhakti, all kinds of devotion and approaches and loving expressions of surrender and dedication and service to God and his various expansions. And the whole idea of Bhagavatam is bring us to the point of appreciating the greatest devotees of the Lord, who has received the most mercy of the Lord, who is the most intimate with Lord, and who are the worshippers of the greatest, highest form of the Lord. There are many forms of Bhagavan, but only one form of Bhagavan, according to Bhagavat Puran, according to Srila Vyasadeva, and which in this Bhagavat Puran is a summary of all the Vedic teachings, he says, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. There's many forms of the Absolute Truth, and different leelas, and different functions and expressions, different colors, different ages, different yugas, they appear as avatars, das avatar, yuga avatars, leela avatars. But only Swayam Bhagavan Krishna in Vrindavan, Mathura and Dwarka only Bhagavan Krishna is called Swayam Bhagavan. He's the origin. Sarva avatari, purnatam Bhagavan, these are the terms in Sanskrit, in Shastra, to describe Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Sarva avatari, purnatam Bhagavan, this particular, the topmost form of God, the most complete form of God, the most opulent in Aishwarya, samagrasya, Aishwaryasya, samagrasya, virayasya, yashashashya. He has all the opulences of Aishwarya, wealth, pomp, grandeur, power, creation, strength, wealth. But he's the sweetest possible sweet representation of Bhagavan. Rama is very sweet. Vishnu, not so sweet. Something sweet between Lakshmi and Narayan. Ram Leela is very sweet and also bittersweet in some ways. Bitter and sweet. And then we come Krishna Leela. It's Madhurya Leela. He's Madhurya Purushottam. He's Madhurya Purushottam Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan. Rama is Maryada Purushottam. That means something. Maryada means justice, rules, regulations, Yama, Niyama, Shastra Vidhi, Manu Samhita, the laws of man, Dharma, Art, Kam, Moksha, justice in society, a just society properly, according to Ved, Puran. So he's called Maryada. But Krishna is also Bhagavan, but he's Swayam Bhagavan. He's called Madhurya because he's sweet. He's a Bhagavan. He's a Purushottam Bhagavan. Purnatam Bhagavan. Purnatam Purushottam. He's sweet. His name is sweet. His leelas are sweet. His devotees are sweet. His dham is sweet. Sweeter than any other form of the Lord. Sweeter devotees than any other devotees of the Lord. Sweeter holy place. How many people around India are worshipping Gopal? Little deities of Gopal. 5 million? 50 million? 500 million? How many Indian people have little deities of Ramchandra? People worship Bhagavan Ramchandra. He's God. He's to be worshipped. He will liberate you. You can love Ramachandra, Ram Prem, like Hanuman, Ram Prem. I am saying this to point out to everyone who is the most popular God in India. Usually they say Vishnu, Shiva, and Durga or something. Is it right? Shiva, Durga, and Vishnu. Is it right? But Vishnu ultimately means Krishna. So Vishnu also means Krishna because Krishna is the source of all the Vishnus. Then of all the Vishnu forms of Bhagavan, how many people have baby deities of Vishnu? Nobody. Because nowhere is described that Vishnu was ever a baby. He always is, always was. God is always is and was. But Krishna takes birth, Janma Otsav, he grows, he plays, he sings, he dances, he steals, he lies, steals butter. He's glorified. So he's most popular. So this is Krishna. So when Vyasadeva rewrote the Srimad Bhagavatam, he injected the ras. So every single word of Bhagavatam is full of various types of rasas. Gona ras, Mukhi ras, and Tattva, Siddhanta. And the Bhagavatam, 10th canto ras, it's called ras lila, means ras. Every verse is full of sweet taste. Madhurya ras, of that Madhurya Purushottam, Krishna, Sham, Ghanasham, Gopinath, Gopal. Gopal, Gopaladev, they say in Vrindavan. So this word, Kamudvantam, this lotus flower, there's a lotus flower, a blossoming flower at midnight, and the moon, the full moon at midnight. And it's not, the full moon is not moving, that's unbelievable, never happens anywhere on the planet. Full moon instantly goes, you don't see it, all of a sudden, bing, it's at high midnight. It's at midnight, top of the sky. It's a perfect spotlight for the stage of the rasa drama, for the stage of the celebration of rasa lila, the divine dance of love. With lila, Madhurya lila Purushottam Bhagavan Sri Krishna and Madhurya Mahi Bhagavati Radha. Madhurya Mahi Bhagavati Radha. Mahabhav Sarupini Radha. This is the ideal. So now Kumud represents, there's Kumud flower blossoming at midnight, which is unusual in its white color. When Krishna sees the Kumud and he sees the moon, he also sees himself and Radharani. Kumud means Radharani, because Radharani is Gauri, Gauri and Sham. Gauri means golden, whitish, fair. Gauri means fair. She's very golden, but also very fair, light. Light golden color. So this Kumud is white lotus flower, which points to Gauri Radha, and Krishna is Sham, dark, and it's midnight. The midnight darkness, that darkness is Sham, Krishna. The darkness of midnight represents Sham, and the white lotus flower represents Radha. And when that dark night, midnight, meets the white lotus flower, that's Prem Sambandha, that's Ras. They're telling. So now the Kumud, When Krishna, this indicates that Kumudi Radha, that Gauri Radha, will meet with Sham in the Rasmandala. And when Krishna sees the Akanda Mandalam, Drisra Kumudvantam Akanda Mandalam, when he sees the Akanda Mandalam, the beautiful mandala, the orb, the unbroken orb, the glowing orb of Radharani's beautiful, glowing, fair colored complexion, Akanda unbroken, because her love never breaks. It's eternal love, Akanda Prem and Mandalam. So her face is always radiating the cool vibration and the soothing, comforting glance of her eyes. And so Radharani, for Krishna, Radharani's face resembles the Purnima of Sharad Purnima. And Radharani's face, because her face is moon-like, soothing, soothing to the mind, soothing to the body, as the full moon soothes the mind, comforts the mind, and comforts the body, and relieves us of heat. When the full moon rose in the Sharad season, it took away all the heat from the earth. And when Krishna's in Viraha Tap, he's separated from Radharani. He's burning like the hot days of autumn. Ah, but when Krishna comes before Radha, then there are cooling moonbeams of her loving glance and the cooling moonbeams from her Chandramukhi face. Radharani's other name is Chandramukhi Radha. That Radha's face is like a Chandra. Purnima. Akanda Mandalam is a in one level. This Akanda Mandalam it says Dristva Kumudvantam Akanda Mandalam. When Krishna Dristva, he saw the unbroken disc of the full moon. For three verses, we're being reminded of the full moon, and for these three verses, Krishna is seeing the full moon and thinking of Chandramukhi Radha. Purnima Dristi Radha Chandramukhi Chintan. He's seeing. And it's Udipan, Madhurya Mahi, Madhurya Rati, conjugal love, amorous love. It's a stimulant and excitant for that. He sees the full moon. Oh, the full moon is nice, it's romantic. No. When Krishna sees the full moon, he sees a reddish tinted face of Gauri Radha, a Chandramukhi Radha. Three verses, Krishna staring at the full moon. Verse 1, 2, and 3. And he's describing the full moon has red. The full moon is reddish with vermilion or kunkum. That's Radharani's face, which is tinted red with kunkum to please him. And her face is, her throat is also reddish. Radharani's Kanti. Aruna Kanti. Kanti. Her throat. Kant. Aruna Kant. Radharani's throat is also tinged red. Because she put kunkum here? Or saffron? No. Because the anurag, the Krishna anurag, the intense loving attachment and pure surrender and sweet love that Radha eternally holds and expresses for Krishna, Shyam, is expanding from her heart, coming up through her throat. That alone will make her face shining like the reddish tint of the full moon in Sharad Purnima. Krishna is seeing a moon, but the moon connects him to his beloved. That's called Udipan. You see some object, you hear some bird, you see some peacock, you hear some flute playing. And that object, that sound, that color, that phenomenon of nature, that landscape, is called Udipan. It boosts you. It pushes your mind and heart to your Rati, to your permanent attachment. Your permanent loving attachment is called your Rati. In this case, Madhurya Rati, amorous love. So Krishna's, oh, the moon. He's three verses, he's staring at the moon. He's not a lunatic. A lunatic means a crazy person. He stares at the moon and he goes crazy like a werewolf or something. Oh. Krishna's looking at the moon and he's feeling romantic feelings for whom? For generic romantic. Oh, I feel romantic. No, it's Radha. It's not the Chandra, it's the Radha. It's Chandramukhi. So first he sees a reddish face. It's a kunkum on Radharani's face. And now he's seeing, oh, it's the same moon. Now the moon is further description of the moon. So many poetic and beautiful Sanskrit words to describe a planet moon. It's to describe Gauri's face, her Mukha Chandra. Gauri Radharani Mukha Chandra. Chandramukhi Radha. This is what's being said here. So now he's saying it's reddish, like the rising moon. Radharani's face, Gauri's face, Radharani's Mukha. And it's a Kanda Mandalam. So Shukadev Vyasamuni has entered what's called Samadhi Bhashya. The Acharyas say, how could he? He wrote the Bhagavatam once, but it was Niras. It was Niras. That sweetness, that intimacy of Braj Leela, that pinnacle, the greatest of all bhaktas, of all the Bhagavats, of all the Savior Bhagavats in the Bhagavatam, and all the Sevak Bhagavats, the servants of Bhagavan, and all the Savior Bhagavans, the goal of your Seva, that Bhagavan, that Ishadeva, is the goal of your service, or your devotion. They're all described. Now we have the Param Savior Bhagavan, Govinda Damodar Madhav of Vrindavan. And we have the Param Sevak Bhagavat, that pure Seva, Aradhanam, Parama Aradhanam Radharani, Radhika. Krishna's Ladini Shakti form. So now they're dancing. They're having Leela, Venogit and Brahmagit and so many Leelas and Dasama Skanda to show the world the greatest lover of Krishna, Radharani, the greatest form of Godhead, Krishna and Vrindavan, the greatest love story ever told, this love story of Radha and Krishna. It's transcendental, it's eternal, it's open for all, it's inviting, it's purifying, it's sanctifying, it's blissful, it's exciting, it's absorbing, it's unforgettable. Can you describe any mundane movie with those adjectives? You can try, and people do, but it's impossible. All those adjectives, any one movie. Sanctifying, purifying, unforgettable, incredible, fantastic, purifying, beautiful, transcendental. Any love story you see in the movies is transcendental? So, when Krishna's there, the Nayaka is waiting for the Nayaka. The hero is waiting for the heroine. Where is she? Where is she? Everywhere I look around me, I see Radha. I see Radha in the moon. I see Radha in the flowers. I smell Radha in the fragrance. All these Malika flowers. Utfala Malika. Malika flowers, jasmine, bela, are blossoming at midnight. So romantic and so intoxicating. It fills me full of romance. But forget all that. That can happen to any mundane person. He can appreciate the smell of beautiful, sweet flowers. And if they're romantic-type flowers, they create romantic feelings. Aphrodisiac. They call it aphrodisiac. They awaken amorous desire. Herbs, flowers, fragrances, colors, hot pink, and so many things. They act as stimulants to madhurya, ras, conjugal love. This is Radha. I smell Malika. I'm stimulated with conjugal amorous feelings for my eternal beloved, my Priyaji Radha, my Pyariji, Pyariju, and Pyari and Pyariju. Where is she? Where is my Pyari? Where's Pyari Kahan? Pyari Kahan? Radha Kahan? But more than just that response and effect of that fragrance, Krishna's thinking, oh, when she comes, when my Pyariji, when my Priyaji comes, I will pick those Malika flowers myself with my hands, and I will make a beautiful mala, and with all my love and devotion, bhaktya prayachati. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakti prayachati tadaham bhakti paritam ashnami whatever. So I will offer the greatest devotion. I will offer the greatest devotion. Krishna is the exemplar of that verse. Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakti prayachati tadaham bhakti paritam ashnami prayatatmanaha. He says that in the verse, it says, you offer me a flower, love, I accept it. So imagine Krishna saying in Gita, if you offer me a flower with love, I accept your love, which is mixed in the flower. Don't just offer me a flower. Oh, here, Bhagavan, here's a flower, here's a pakora, here's a sweet. If your love is not mixed in your offering, it's not an offering. It's a prem arpan. It's a prem offering. Bhakti is mentioned twice in this verse from Gita. Bhakti prayachati. So imagine if Krishna in Gita is asking for a simple offering, a flower, a water, a leaf. Imagine when Krishna makes a love offering to his eternal beloved Radha. When Krishna offers a flower to Radha, how beautiful it is, how much devotion he has, how much Radha Bhakti Krishna has. Unbelievable. So when he smells the Malika flowers, he thinks of service to Radha, not enjoying, I'm really enjoying this smell. Oh, look, this is such a nice smell, I'm enjoying it. I will let you enjoy it too. Here, smell this flower. I enjoyed it, now you can enjoy my remnants. Any stimulant in the environment, when Krishna smells or sees, he thinks of Radha. Madhurya Mahi Radha. And he doesn't think, I'm going to meet my Radha. And her body smells like a lotus flower. Her body smells like a Malika flower. He thinks, and I will enjoy the fragrance of her body. I will enjoy the touch of her body. I will enjoy dancing with her. She's my beloved. I will have a good time. He's thinking, oh, when she comes, I will serve my beloved. This is prema. Krishna prema, Radha prema. Radha Govinda Yuga Prem, Divya Alokik Prem, something different. The most beautiful woman in the world, woman, the most beautiful setting in the world, the most beautiful time of year, and the most beautiful season of the year, and the most beautiful time of the day for romance and amorous affairs, midnight, Sharad season. And it's Krishna thinking, this is going to be a big night. We're really going to enjoy. He's thinking, oh, this is a great night, a beautiful night for me to serve my beloved. For me to please my beloved's desire to dance. For me to please my beloved's desire to smell Malika flowers. When Krishna sees a beautiful flower, he doesn't think, oh, let me pick this flower and smell it. He thinks, Krishna, this is the thinking of Bhagavan. He sees something beautiful. He finds a beautiful flower in a van. He thinks, oh, I would love to offer this to Radha. I would love to give this to Radha. And that's exactly the same as the heart of a Shuddh Bhakt. The heart of a pure devotee of Krishna is the same as Krishna's heart. Krishna wants to serve and love his pure devotee Radha, his pure lover Radha. So someone who's a devotee, he wants to serve and love the pure personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So a devotee of Krishna, he sees a flower. Oh, that's a very nice fruit. That's pomegranate, that anar is in season. It looks very ripe. Well, let me find the best one. For me? No, not for me. For my pyar, for my priyatam, Krishna. I'll find the best one. Now I'll come home, I'll wash it all clean, and I'll cut it nicely and break all the pieces. Maybe I'll make anar ras juice, pomegranate juice, or maybe I'll put it in a fruit salad. And I'll offer it. And I'll make offering. I'll ring, put in front of pictures of Radha and Krishna. And then I'll go away and sing some bhajan. And maybe I even forget. I forget how I made this offering. I hope Krishna likes it. I tried my best to put all my love into this offering. And while I'm doing bhajan or I'm waiting 10 minutes, 15 minutes for Bhagavan to relish that bhog, I forget. And I don't offer something on the altar or before my deity or Thakurji and say, Krishna, this is bhog for you. Here's Tulsi Patra, some Ganga gel to purify. Now you quickly eat because I want to enjoy. I go do some other service, read something, chant some mala or some bhajan. And an hour later, I made that offering. And 2 hours later, I offered anar to my Thakurji. I completely forget. This is the heart of the devotee. So Krishna forgets his service to Radharani, and that's called anurag. Every day Krishna makes mala for Radharani, and every day Krishna meets Radharani and offers her a garland. Every day he does kesh seva and shringar seva to Radha, and she does it to him also. Radharani makes mala and she ties it in Krishna's top knot on his head, and she decorates his, makes bracelets, and she paints his face and decorates his face, Sringhar. And every day seems fresh and new. Oh, Radharani, well, these are nice flowers. I think I'll offer these to Radha. Because he forgets that he already offered them yesterday and she forgot because they're anurag, their intense loving attachment makes everything new, everything fresh. Krishna is always a newer Krishna. Radharani is always a newer Krishna. And the seva that they render to each other in the divine dance of love, the eternal celebration of love, is newer and newer and fresher and fresher, and more enjoyable every day, every moment. This is bhakti. This is prem. Krishna prem. Everyone must become master yogi here. Vachu vega manasakrota vegam. Fully control the senses. This is blissful. Just keep speaking and keep hearing and don't let your senses... It says in Gita, you should not let your senses run out through the openings. Stita di muni. All the senses should be collected in the mind. So that's the purpose of Shravanam and Kirtanam and Smaranam. So we should be hearing so with so much concentrated effort and remembering as we're hearing that we withdraw all of our senses. We withdraw our mind from all other senses. We can't smell anything because if we can, it may be some difficult. So we can't smell anything. We become absorbed in the Shabda, the Leela, Katha. This is the perfection of hearing. So absorbed that we may go avastachitta. Rupa Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami in Radhadamodara Mandir, Seva Kunjaria. He was hearing Harikatha from Raghunath Bhatta. He became so absorbed, with all of his senses withdrew into his consciousness, and his mind entered his consciousness, and his intelligence, everything entered his consciousness in a state of Prem Samadhi, total absorption in the Prem Harikatha spoken by Raghunath Bhatta Goswami 500 years ago. And he became avastachitta. He became inert, appeared as if he was no longer here, as if he left his body. His body was just sitting there immobile. And some of his godbrothers, Sanatan Goswami was also his brother, elder brother, and Jiva and others around him, Sri Haridas Pandit and other great acharyas living 500 years ago in Vrindavan, they were crying and they had astasaptic vikars, romancha, kampa, hair standing on end, trembling from the beautiful, sweet, rasa-filled Harikatha. They were oblivious to everything, but they were somewhat conscious. They were aware. And they could see, oh, perchance our dear Rupa, Sri Rupa, has left this world to enter Nitya Lila Pravesh, to enter Radha Krishna Nitya Lila in the middle of this katha. And then they didn't know he was absorbed in Prem Samadhi on the katha. Couldn't smell anything, couldn't see anything, couldn't even hear anything. Now the katha, he went beyond the senses, went beyond the ears. Now the katha became one with his very Atma. The katha was no longer passing through his ears to his mind to be understood as Harikatha or Shabda Brahman or Leela Katha. It actually penetrated his very consciousness directly, his chitta. It became avasta chitta, practically unconscious to the world. That's hearing Harikatha. So then to determine whether or not Rupa Goswami was still in his body, his form, external sadhak rup, they took some small, fine cotton, natural cotton, and they put it by his nose. Very, very gentle and slight movement was there to indicate that the Atma was still residing and floating on the prana of that body. The Atma had not departed from that physical body. That's absorption. In the first canto of Bhagavatam, it said the rishis and munis gathered at the feet of Shukamuni. Ancient sages, Chiranjeevs were sitting there. They lived for eons. Like this Lomasa Rishi. Lomasa Rishi is a great Rishi of India. He's called Chiranjeev. He lives, when one hair of his body, one Roma falls from his body, a day of Brahma passes. Lomasa. Loma means Roma. Loma means the follicle where the hair comes. Lomasa Rishi. It's called Chiranjeev. Chiran means practically forever he lives. They're all gathered there. Ashtavakra Muni, Vashishta Muni, Narad Muni, Vyasa. Everyone was listening to Shukadev. Narada Muni. He's listening not to his disciples' katha, Vyasa's katha, but the son of his disciples' katha. A young boy, 16-year-old boy, Shukamuni. And it's described in the first canto that the Rishi Muni sages, of course, we're not Rishi Munis. We get distracted. We get vikshape, man vikshape. We go here and there and like jumping. But the rishis, munis, perfectly sitting, Padma Asan. They were so still and so quiet. They were hearing with rapt attention. We say in English, it was so quiet you could hear a pin drop. When a little needle or pin, boink, can't hear anything. It's so light and so small, it makes no sound. So that's how we should hear Harikatha, full absorption in the subject matter. So Kamud, Drishtva Kamud, Akanda Mandalam. When Krishna saw the orb of the full moon, he remembered Radha, Chandramukhi's beautiful face. And then he saw, now he was anticipating, because this is one of the features of love, he was anticipating. His love had already awakened. He's anticipating, now he's awakened, his love is awakened, poor Virag. And he's hoping he'll meet Radharani and all the gopis tonight. And when he goes, when he's waiting there, as I said, he's standing there. The lover has already gone there first. And he's calling the beloved on his flute. Please come, dance with me, meet with me, enjoy with me. Let me serve you, serve me. We'll dance together in love divine underneath the moonshine in Vrindavan. So then, when Radharani appears before Krishna's vision as she's walking, then what happens? Radharani becomes the Akanda Mandalam. This word Akanda Mandalam describes the Purnima. Sharad Purnima is called Akanda Mandalam. The Akanda Mandalam, the Purnima of Chandramukhi Radha's face, that beautiful glowing, that Prem Jyoti, Prem Prabha, Madhurya Prem Jyoti of Radharani's face starts glowing, and that becomes a new illumination for the Rasastali. There's Sharad Purnima above, hanging in the sky, illuminating with its beautiful soothing moon rays. Then all of a sudden, Chandramukhi appears on the ground, full moon personified, the Akanda Mandalam of Chandramukhi Radha's beautiful moon-like face, emanating light. What kind of light? Not simply light to illuminate the Rasastali, but the Jyoti, the Prem Jyoti, Madhurya Prem Jyoti, Mahabhav Jyoti, that brilliant, soothing, cooling, loving, sweet light of Mahabhav from Radharani's heart. Her heart's light, her coming through her face. So she's Chandramukhi. And when Krishna sees that beautiful full moon of Radharani's face, Chandramukhi, slightly tinted red, not because of the moonshine, but because of kunkum, applied for his pleasure by her, he becomes so thrilled. He becomes so thrilled, he becomes Kumud. Kumud. Krishna becomes Kumud. Kumud means a white lotus flower. And Ku means earth, and Muda means happy. So Krishna is standing on the earth. What earth? The Leela Stali, the Rasa Stali, on the banks of the Yamuna. He's standing in Mother Bhumi, Ku, and he becomes Muda. Mud. Becomes that person, Krishna, standing on the earth, becomes very, very happy when he sees the Akanda Mandalam, full moon of Radharani, her face rising on the surface of the Ras Mandal. Because Akanda Mandalam means the full moon. Akanda Mandalam means the beautiful full moon of Radharani's face glowing with the soothing, cooling, satisfying, nourishing, rasa-filled rays of her love. Like the moon is full of rasa-filled rays, we established the moon's rays are full of ras, and they give ras and taste to the vegetables and fruits. Soma bhutva vrasatmaka. Krishna says in Gita, I become Soma, and I give the ras to the vegetables and fruits. So who is the Soma ras for Krishna? Who is the Soma ras for Krishna? It's the moon. The moon gives ras, gives taste to the vegetables. So who gives taste to Krishna's heart? Who gives ras to Krishna's heart? Rasarani Radha. Rasarani Radha. Rasaraj and Rasarani. Nikunja Bihari and Nikunja Biharani. Nikunja Biharani. The Kunja Bihari Sham and the Kunja Biharani Gauri, Radha, Shama. So now her face appears in the Ras Mandala. Ah, look at that full moon, Krishna is saying to himself. What a beautiful, it's the most beautiful full moon. Sometimes they say that our Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, said, and it's very interesting what's inside of what he said, and his devotees can understand. Prabhupada writes in his Tika on this, where it says Utfala, it says the Sharad Purnima, and Sharad Utfala. Sharad Purnima, I think it's in verse 1, 29.1. My Gurudev says, this is the most beautiful night of the world. This is considered the most beautiful night of the year in North India. But, that's the external meaning of my Gurudev's words, because my Gurudev is a Rasik Jan. He said, he's covering the real meaning. Yes, the Sharad Purnima is the most beautiful night of the year in northern India. It's considered like that, after the hot days. But actually what my Gurudev is saying, the Sharad Purnima is the most beautiful night of the year for Krishna, who appeared in North India. And Gokul, it's the most beautiful night of the year for him, because the rising full moon of Radharani will appear in the Maharasastali, on the earth. And when he sees that rising moon of the Akanda Mandalam of Radharani's face, he will feel Kumud. Kumud. Ku means earth, and mood means joy. And Kumud means white lotus flower. So Krishna will feel, he's standing on the earth, and he'll feel very, is Krishna satisfied Kumud by seeing the moon? Or smelling a flower? He's happy. It satisfies his senses, but the source of all his santosh, all of his complete bliss and satisfaction is none other than Radharani. So when Radhika, Srimati Radhika appears, when her full moon, he forgets about, Krishna totally forgets about the Sharad Purnima, and he thinks, yes, this is indeed the most beautiful night of the year. This is the Maharas dance, when I will enjoy Maharas Leela with Mahabhav Sarupini Radha. And I am Rasaraj, and this is my Mahabhav, the source of my Mahabhav. Look at her moon-like face. It's tinged with red. It's so soothing. I'm so relieved. I was burning from the hot days of the summer, and the moon rose. I was not burning from the hot days of the summer. I am Aptakam and Atmaram. I was burning from the hot fires of love and separation. I was burning from the searing, tearing flames of Viraha Agni, Madhurya Prem, Viraha, separation from my dearly, nearly beloved Radha, my Priyaji. And now she's before me, my long-awaited lover, Dirga Darshan. Yesterday was Dirga Darshan. That lover I haven't seen for so long. Dirga means long time, big. And Darshan means, I haven't seen my Radha for a long time. How long? I haven't seen her since 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Uttaragoshta Leela. Uttaragoshta, when I returned from the coward pastures with Subal and Sridham and Balaram with my lakhs of cows, Radharani is peeking to me, peeking at me from between the leaves and flowers of the kunjas along the road through Barsana, Nanda Nandagram. I saw her. She looked at me. Radha Kripa Kataksha. Radha Kripa Kataksha. She glanced at me with a merciful sidelong glance, and I captured that glance, and I smiled. And my mouth and my smile conveyed my love, and my desire to meet very soon with her. Then I cast my glance at her, Krishna Kripa Kataksha. And Krishna Kripa Kataksha met with Radha Kripa Kataksha, and the mercy of Radha's glance and the mercy of Krishna's glance became a Prema Lingata. Their two eyes met together on the footpath as Krishna passed through Barsana with all his cows and boyfriends. They were in the front, and he was lingering behind. This is the Prem. And Krishna said, Oh Radha, I've been out all day with the coward boys. I'm missing you so much. That was told in her eyes. And then in Krishna's eyes. Then in Radha's eyes, she told Shyam, Oh Shyam, I'm missing you for so many hours. I haven't been with you since this morning at 8:30. 8:30 in the morning, you left Nandagram. And this Purvan Leela, and he went out with the cows, and I went back to Varsana, or to Yavat. So many 9 long hours, I'm seeing you again. Please, when will I meet you again? And then Krishna's glancing in his eyes and telling with his mercy glance. Mercy means you get money. Mercy means you get health. Mercy means you cure a disease. Mercy means you fall in love. Mercy means you meet your beloved. So in Krishna's eyes, it's called Krishna Kripa Kataksha because the mercy was there. The mercy came in the form of an invitation. Krishna's eyes were giving an invitation, Nirmantran. Ras Leela Nirmantran. Invitation, Nirmantran. Oh, Radharani, you see in my eyes, I'm inviting you for the Rasa dance. Just wait. Now it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. In 7 hours from now, 6, 7 hours in Pradosh Leela, Ratri Leela, I will call you. You'll hear my flute. You'll hear your name and my flute. That's the signal. In Veda, it says when you smell something bad, if you smell, you're tasting. Because when you have a cold, is your nose stuffed up? Yes. Can you taste? No. You sure? You never had a cold? You can't taste anything except the medicine. Because there's an interplay between smelling and tasting. So in Veda, in Brahman, in the achar for Brahmins, because they always want to attain sattva, they always want to follow their niyam. So they go somewhere and they smell onions or garlic cooking or somewhere. Then, or they smell burning chicken flesh, etc. They spit. Because when the gandha, the aroma, the air carrying that smell, durganda, bad smell, goes in the nose, it mixes. That air mixes with the water in your mouth called saliva. That creates ras, taste. So if you smell and then you say, oh, onions, and that for that split second you actually taste it. And then you've actually broken the principles of not eating onions and garlic or flesh. So immediately, as soon as it smells, oh, they spit. So you're walking with the most cultured, refined Chaturvedi Brahmin and walking in a city somewhere, whatever, because I've seen this, that's why I know, and I've read also about it. They spit, and I say, my dear sir, Panditji, you're an acharya, you're a guru. He says, no, you don't know, it's like this. Purity, purity, purity. Purity is God. God is pure. Purity in actions, food, thoughts. Purity in smelling. Purity in seeing. Jesus in the Bible said, if a man looks lustily, if he looks at a woman with lust in his eyes, it's the same as if he laid down to bed with her. Because 2,000 years ago in Christianity, they considered if you have sinful or wrong thoughts, you get a reaction for it. And Satyug, Dwapar Yug, if you have sinful thoughts, sinful bad thoughts, dirty thoughts, you suffer sinful reaction. In Kali Yuga, there's a compensation. But Krishna gives a catch there. There's some fine print there. There's a compensation that you don't go to hell and suffer papa fall or negative punishment for your sinful thoughts in Kali Yuga. And that's a good reprieve. That's a good relief. However, Krishna says, don't take advantage. Dayato vishyam pamsam, sangat sangat vijayate. He says that if you have sinful thoughts, then throw them. Tyag, throw them, reject them, purify them, take shelter of my holy name. Cheto darpanam, marjanam. Don't endorse them, don't run with them, don't daydream, don't entertain them. Don't enjoy your bad dreams, wake up and start chanting. Some people are having a bad dream, which means illicit dream, and they say, oh, this is good, let it keep going. And devotees are sincere, they can catch their subconscious by their sincerity. And wake up and chant. Krishna gives that facility because all ability comes from Krishna. Ability to catch and throw anything, even bad dreams. So then you don't get reaction. But Krishna's saying, Gita, you have this bad thought or wicked thought and you keep meditating, contemplating on it, then you'll create sanskar, heavy sanskar in your chitta, which means attachment, asakti. Rati. And that attachment, once that sinful thought gets attached to you, it's like a leech. It's like a leech on your skin or like a tick. They have these forest insects. They jump off the trees and they bite into your skin. You see they bite into cows and stuff. I grew up in the country. In the summer they bite. You have to burn them off, actually. With a match, you light it and liberate them. We call them ticks. I don't know what you call them here. I see them here on the cows. They blow up like that. Blood, they suck blood. They won't let go. You can't. If you pull them off, it creates an infection. At any rate, that's another side point. So, Jesus was a very heavy preacher. He preached a very strict point. So this is it. Krishna, this is Ras. You wanted Ras, this is Ras. So you can only appreciate Ras if you're advanced. Otherwise, it's fall asleep. It's so beautiful. I mean, I'm just simply repeating. I have no understanding or taste. But Kamudvantam, so when Krishna sees, following the analogy, when Krishna sees the full moon, the Akanda Mandalam of Radharani's Aruna Chandra, her reddish face, Aruna Mukh of Radharani, tinted, her face, Radharani's face is tinted with Anurag, that intense loving mood of her heart, which makes her ever fresh, makes her ever new and exciting and attractive. Anurag. Krishna, Prem Anurag. That makes her face also red. And her enthusiasm to serve Krishna. And her excitement to serve Krishna. And she ran so far to meet Krishna in the dead of night, to please him and dance with him throughout the night. So when that full moon appears before Krishna, then he's Kumud. He's happy, mood. He's standing on the Ku, the earth, and he's very happy. But Kumud, as Shukadeva is saying, means Krishna Dristva Kumud. Krishna saw the beautiful blossoming white lotus flower, Kumud or Pundarik. Now change the subject. The subjective view is Krishna looking at the flower and seeing the moon and thinking of Radha. But for Krishna, the moon is Chandramukhi Radha's face. Now when Krishna sees the full moon of Radharani, her form, her love, her face, before him, then Kumud now becomes Krishna. And Kumud becomes Krishna's consciousness. The white lotus of Krishna's consciousness. Kumud, Kumudi, or Kumud, means white lotus flower, Pundarik, which is blossoming at midnight. So when Krishna sees the beautiful full moon face of Radha, the Akanda Mandalam of Radha's loving, pure Madhurya Mayi Mukh, Madhurya Mayi, her love, her conjugal, amorous, love-saturated face, eyes, the glimmer in her eyes, the twitch of her lips, and the angle of her smile, and the tilt of her head, and the movements of her hand, moving her hair over her ears, and the way she's glancing at him. That beautiful Madhurya Mayi Mukh of Radha, when Krishna sees that full moon of her face, then the kumud, the white lotus flower of Krishna's love for Radha, it blossoms in 1,000 petals. So the kumud becomes the representative of the Sahasra Padma of Krishna's own consciousness. The 1,000 petals of Krishna's Madhurya Phool, his Madhurya Mayi Phool, his romantic flower of love, sprouts with 1,000 petals, with 10,000 petals, with 1,000,000 petals. And each petal represents Krishna's desire to love, serve, and please Srimati Radhika. This is divine love. This is sacred love of the Maharas dance. Maharas means the great taste of divine love. The dance, the nach, the nritya, the dance, where the greatest love is relished with the greatest lover and the greatest beloved. Maharas dance. We say, rasa panch adyaya. Rasa panch adyaya. Rasa, five flavors of ras. Pancha ras means five types of ras. So in the ras lila, Krishna will experience everything. The nourishment and the joy and the satisfaction of mother and son. The ecstasy of divine conjugal love, Madhurya and Vatsalya. And he'll feel the friendship with the Sakis. They're called Sakis. And he's Krishna Sakha, Gopal Sakha. He'll feel so friendly and so at ease and intimate, like a friend, friendly love. And he'll feel like Dasyarati. He'll feel like a servant of Radha and do Sringar Seva. And Radharani will feel like, Krishna will feel like a Das, Radha Das. And Radharani will feel like Krishna Dasi. And Radharani will brush Radharani's hair and dress him nicely and fix his chadar after their love sports. So all the rasas are experienced in the Rasa Leela, Madhurya Ras. So Maharas Leela means the Leela, that dance where Krishna danced forever, millions and millions of years. Brahma Ratra Upavarte, relishing all the ecstatic Braja rasas, Braj Bhakti, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, all swept up and mixed up with Madhurya, romantic, amorous exchanges with its divine, eternal lovers, the gopis of Vrindavan. This is the Maharas Leela. Kamud Antam. Kamud flower. One flower, so many words. One flower, so many darshans. Kamud. This book, Krishnaika Komudi, is also beautiful. When one reads it, his seventh chakra opens up. It's a medicine to open the seventh chakra, the Sahasra Padma. The Sahasra Padma of Braj Leela. The Sahasra Padma of Braja Prem. Radha Govinda Yuga Prem. In one little book, but so much love. So many leelas. So much ras. Kavi Karnapur, Sripad Kavi Karnapur Goswami wrote this book. As we mentioned, the kumud, the lotus, is a symbol of beauty in Indian culture. And the lotus flower also reminds us of Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi is standing on a lotus flower, and Lakshmi Devi carries a lotus flower in her hand to bless her worshippers, to bless her devotees with her padma. She touches them. So this is the lotus. In fact, in the Rasa Leela chapters, Rasa Panchadhyaya, this imagery, the inner meaning and the imagery of lotus flower and very kumud and different names for lotus, it's mentioned 30 times. In five chapters you will find 30 times of reference made to lotus flowers. That's how much prevalent and important the lotus flower is in Indian culture, in the culture of love, in the Rasa-lila, in the pastimes of Krishna. So this is one point that is mentioned. Because now, of course, Lakshmi, standing on a lotus flower, she blesses her worshippers in sadhana bhakti, in Vaidhi sadhana, or whoever they worship, Lakshmi Narayan, puja. She blesses with the lotus flower. Now, Radharani, she also carries a lotus flower. But it's not called an Ashirvad Padma. Lakshmi Devi's kumud is called Ashirvad Padma. Is that right? A flower by which Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, gives blessings. What kind of blessings? Rupees, crores, Arabs, or whatever they call it, Arabs. Arabs have a lot of crores. There's crores and Arabs, Arab, something like Arabs. When you have a lot of money in India, you're called an Arabpati, yes? But who has more Arabs than the Arabs? Arabs have the most Arabs. Long A for Arab and short A for Arab, is it right? Anyway, they're rich. So obviously Lakshmi Devi is very wealthy. But the lotus in the Rasa-lila has nothing to do with Lakshmi Devi, at least a Vaikuntha Lakshmi Devi. It has nothing to do with money, it has everything to do with love, and everything to do with Madhurya Prem and Braja Prem and Radha and Krishna. The lotus here, this kumud, is referring to it, as acharyas say, it reminds one of Lakshmi Devi. So when the word kumud appears, Drishtva kumud, Krishna saw kumud, white lotus flower, he also saw the significance and meaning of Lakshmi. Lakshmi means fortune. So he saw, oh, what a fortunate night, Krishna, Drishtva kumud vantam. What a fortunate night, a night-blooming lotus flower. This is so fortunate. Why does Krishna feel that this is a very fortunate night? Drishtva kumud. Kumud means lotus flower. It represents Lakshmi, ultimately. You can draw to there. Because I will become the most fortunate man in the universe. Because I will meet my Radhika. And I will dance for millions of years in my Radhika. No one will be there, just Radhika and her girlfriends and me throughout the night, eternity, for eternity. That's one meaning. But now we take it to the Sarva Lakshmi Mai Radha. Radharani is known as Sarva Lakshmi Mai Radha. And Sarva Samohini, Sarva Samohini Radha. That Radha is actually the source, according to Shastra Praman. Srimati Radharani is the Adya Lakshmi, Adya Shakti, the origin of all Shaktis, which she collects, she stores all of Krishna's Shaktis. Krishna's Parasya Shakti, Krishna's Shaktiman. He has a treasury of Shaktis, but Radharani has the key to the treasury. Because she's the Shakti, Shaktiman, Abed. There's no difference between the Shakti and the Shaktiman. The possessor and owner and creator of all the Shaktis is Krishna. Parasya Shaktir Vivadeva Shuyate. Svabhava, how's it go? Gyanabala, Svabhaviki Gyanabala Kriyacha. But Radharani says, Radharani, there's so many Shaktis here, I can't keep track. Like a husband gets married, and there's so many possessions in the house, he says, listen, I can't keep track of all these things. I can't keep track of my money, my car payments, my insurance payments. I can't keep track of the gas payments or furniture. I don't know what's going on. Here, you take care. So the wife becomes a master computer. She's in charge of the money, the banking, everything, paying bills. And the husband works and makes money. So Krishna plays. He just plays. But who's going to take care of all the Shaktis? Who's going to look after the whole house? The whole house means the spiritual world. Whole house means the material world. That's Sarva Shakti Mayi Radha. She signs on the checks. She makes the deposits. She pays the bills. She's the source of all the powers. Shakti Shakti Man Abhed. There's a husband and a wife. The husband doesn't make any money, then there's no house. There's no bills. There's no possessions. There's nothing. So it starts there. So Krishna has all the Shaktis they all emanate from. Radharani is also Shakti. Ladini Shakti, Sarupini Radha. She's his Ladini Shakti. She's in charge of that. Then Krishna says, listen, I'm going to expand myself. I'm going to expand myself into Chaturvyuha, then Mool Sankarshan, and then into all the Narayan forms and Purush avatars and Leela avatars, etc. So you have to come with me, because if I'm leaving or I'm expanding, you have to expand with me. Shaktiman expands, then Shakti expands. Krishna expands, then Radha expands. Golokadham expands throughout the universe, and Krishna and Radha go along with it. So then Radharani expands Shakti Mayi Radha, and she becomes the Mahishi, she becomes the gopis. One gopi becomes many. Ekopahusham. Ek Bhagavan becomes many, many parts and parcels, expansions. Ek Bhagavati Radha becomes many, many parts and parcels. Shaktiman, Krishna expands. Bhagavan so if Bhagavan, Shaktiman expands, and he's always with his consort, Purusha and Prakriti, yin and yang, positive and negative, man and woman, always we have this unity and harmony throughout creation from the beginning all the way down to the smallest insect, there's male and female. The smallest insect, there's male and female. So it begins there with God, the origin, the creator, the beginning, the absolute truth, the supreme being and his supreme and the being that he's supreme for. Krishna, God is the supreme being and the being that he lives for, the being that he's supreme for is Radha. So she's the supreme being of the supreme being, if you can understand that. In Indian terms, we say Shakti, Shaktiman, Prakriti, Durga, Purusha, Shiva, Shiv Shakti, Lakshmi Narayan, Sitaram, and Radha and Krishna. But it begins somewhere. The beginning, the origin, it begins Swayam Bhagavan Krishna and Swayam Bhagavati Radha. Shakti Shaktiman. It all begins there. This is the Siddhanta. This is the Siddhanta Sar. Siddhanta Sar of Ved. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavat. Everywhere, this is the ultimate truth of existence. Radha and Krishna and everything expands from there. Antaranga Shakti, Antaranga spiritual Dham, then Bahiranga Shakti, then Maya Jagat, Devi Dham, etc. Then beyond the Paravyam, Hari Dham, Vaikuntha Dham, Ayodhya Dham, Dwarka Dham, Mathura Dham, and finally Sri Dham, Vrindavan Dham, the center, the top. So this is the Kamud, the lotus flower, as Lakshmi Devi is blessing with her Ashravad Padma. Radharani, the original Lakshmi Devi, the source of all the Lakshmis, she also has a Padma. Lakshmi Devi stands on a lotus, so serene, so peaceful, so benign, so kind, so loving to look at. We see the posters and deities of Lakshmi Devi. We feel so much encouragement and support. Very beautiful facade, her countenance. The countenance of Lakshmi Devi is so soothing and creates peace, waves of peace in the mind just by seeing a poster, a painting of Lakshmi Devi or a murti. She stands on a lotus. Lotus represents the beauty and fortune. Lotus represents Lakshmi Devi. If one places Lakshmi Devi and Radharani or Krishna Narayan on the lotus of their heart, then their life will be fortunate forever. Their life will be serene and peaceful and joyful and happy forever. And our Lakshmi Devi, she carries a lotus flower in her bayahat, in her left hand. And she is called Ashavad Padma, the flower that gives blessings. She bestows fortune, wealth, and blessings upon her true worshippers, her surrendered worshippers. Sevaks. And she touches them and blesses them. Fortune, wealth, success. But our Radha, Sri Radhika, she also carries a lotus flower in her left hand. It is not called Ashirvad lotus. It is called Leela Kamal. Leela Kamal. So this word Kamud, Drishva Kamudvantam. When Krishna sees the Chandramukhi, the Akanda Mandalam of Chandramukhi's Radha's face, arise in the distance, approaching the Ras Mandala, he feels so much mood. He He's been standing on the cool moods. Krishna's standing, waiting at Vamshivat, playing, waiting, calling the gopis. All the gopis came and Radha came last. He was happy to see the gopis, but he was yearning and looking for Radha. Where's my Radha? Kotai go prema mai, Radha, Radha. Radharani kahan. And when Radha came, then he became mood, prem mood, so content, so happy, kumud. And Radharani carries the Leela Kamal in her left hand. And she gives the greatest fortune to the Madhurya Mahi Bhaktas. They simply remember the Leela Kamal in Radharani's hand. They become fortunate. But the worshippers of Radha and Krishna, they don't want ashavad. They don't want wealth. They're niskinchan, akinchan. They want prema. They're prema bhikshus. They're bhikshus. The true worshipper of Radha and Krishna, Yugalopasana, he's a bhikshu. He's a beggar. Begging for their love. Begging for their seva, their service. Begging for their darshan, a nitya sangha in Golok. Begging, crying, searching, serving, living, remembering. Radha Krishna, Yugal Upasanam. And this lotus flower in Radharani's hand is not meant for the Upasakas. It's not meant for the Lakshmi Narayan Upasakas, worshippers of Lakshmi Narayan. It's not meant for giving money. It's not meant for giving fortune. It's meant for Leela, with Leela Purushottam, Sham. She doesn't take her lotus flower and touch the heads of conditioned souls. Oh, Dhanam Dehi, Janam Dehi, be wealthy, be fortunate. It's called Leela Kamal. This lotus in Radharani's left hand is part of her love paraphernalia. With this lotus, she makes Krishna's life fortunate. She gives blessings to Krishna. And she reprimands Krishna, for example. Sometimes Radha and Krishna in Banbihar, they're in Banbihar, they're wandering together through the forest and appreciating the kumud flowers blossoming in the Yamuna and appreciating the full moon. And Krishna has his left arm on Radharani's shoulder. And Radharani has her right arm around Krishna's beautiful waist. And they're walking so beautifully and feeling so many amorous feelings, so happy to be together, strolling through the beautiful flower-scented forest of Braj Dham, Vrindavan. And then Krishna starts speaking some naughty words or some funny or maybe some naughty words to Radha. Then she takes her Leela Kamal and she goes, tong, tong. She gently taps, it's called a love tap. You heard of a love kiss or love slap or whatever. With her Leela Pad Kamal, she gently taps Krishna on the cheek. Like, why are you saying like that? You said naughty words. These are not good words to speak to me. So this kumud, sometimes Radharani has, usually she has a blue lotus flower because Nila, it's called Nila Padma, Nila Kamala. Generically it's called Leela Kamala, but it can be different colors. So sometimes it's Kumud Kamala, white lotus flower. So she uses that in her Leelas with Krishna. So Kumud, when Krishna observed the Kumud flowers, it says Dristva Kumudvantam. It means Radharani observing how Krishna's, when Radharani meets Krishna in the rasa dance, then she notices how the white lotus flower of his consciousness blossoms and blooms. The kamud of Krishna's heart. Because she's the full moon in the analogy, and Krishna's the kamud flower. He's the kamud flower waiting by the banks of the Yamuna. There's kamud flowers growing in the Yamuna, but there's one kamud flower standing on the land, one land lotus, Krishna. Kamud Krishna. So Drisva Kumudvanta means Radharani's looking at the white lotus flower of Krishna, and also means Krishna's looking at the white lotus flower of Radha. Because Radha and Krishna, Yugal, are in every single word of every single pada, of every single verse, of every single chapter, the Maharas Leela. And the chariots can see it. They can see in every single word of every single verse, the rasik janas. They can see Radha and Krishna dancing and celebrating Maharas. Mahamadhuri Ras. This is amazing. So we're trying to share their vision. The vision of the saints. The vision of the seers. How they see reality. Love-based reality. Praying-based reality. God-based reality. The beautiful, sweet, divine love. Sacred love of Radha and Krishna. Dancing. It's not just a dance for a few minutes, a few moments, a few hours described in a few verses in chapter 33. The dance begins. The dance of love. The celebration of love and joy and union begins with the first word of the first verse. What's the first word? Bhagavan! Iti Talratri. 29.1. Is it right? The love begins there. Love begins with a Nayak. And he gets excited and he calls his lover and the excitement builds. And that's another meaning of the word kamud. The word kamud in Sanskrit means it's a verb, it means to excite with joy. To excite with joy. So when Krishna sees a kamud, it acts as kamud. The white kamud flower acts as kamud. It excites his heart with romantic joy, amorous desires. To dance with Radha, to serve Radha, to be with Radha forever and ever and ever. Who wants to be separated from their lover? No one. You find true love, you'll never want to be separated by time, by space. But unfortunately, in the material world, we are separated all too soon by time, by space, and ultimately by death. The greatest love affairs, the greatest love relationships come to end by the influence of Kal. Time. Mrityu sarva harascha hum. Kalosmi. Krishna says in Gita, Bhagavad Gita, I am that time factor. I separate you from your beloved. I separate you from your family, your business. I separate you from your body, which you hold so dear and near. I love my body. Kal. Then Krishna says, Mrityu sarva harascha hum. Mrityu, Kal is Mrityu. Death comes in time. When it comes, maybe now. Bye. Haribo, Radhe Radhe. We can die this right now. We can die in 5 minutes. Oh, I'm 16, I'll never die for 80 years. Nothing's guaranteed. When you'll die is not guaranteed. That you will die is absolutely certified, guaranteed. Money back offer. I'll give you a money-back offer. Anybody doesn't die, then I'll give you a dollar. I'll give you $1 so you can try being Maya again. That's all it's worth. Mrityu sarvaharascham. Krishna says, I come as time, as death, and I take away everything. So, before we meet Krishna as Mrityu sarvaharash, Mrityu sarvaharash, Hari, that thief, God, Hari, the thief. Harash, destroy, eliminate, obliterate, kill, finish. Mrityu, death takes everything. I am death. Like the atheists say, my Gurudev used to argue sometimes in America. And we would hear him argue with atheists. They say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in anything. I don't believe in anybody. I believe in me. And God doesn't exist. What do I need God for? I have position, power, fame, name, good body, health, everything. No, God exists. I don't believe in God. God is dead. I don't believe in anything. Money, me. Many people think like that. So what did my Gurudev say? He said, my dear sir, Mr. God, do you believe in death? And he said, well, yes, Swamiji, everyone has to die. And then my Gurudev said, yes, for you, God is death. So you also believe in God. So God is not dead, but God will kill you. God is very much alive, and if you live with God, you will live forever. Nityakal, Anantakal, Anantadam, Anantaprem, Anantadam, Vrindavan. Ananta Bhagavan ki. This is Krishna. So the Kumud flower is telling all these things. And Radharani is playing with the Kumud flower, Leela Kamal. And so we'll continue with Kumud tomorrow. Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Srimad Bhagavata Mahapurana ki jai, Vaishnava Kanda Mandala ki jai, Vaishnava Rajya Sabya ki jai, Sri Vaishnava Prem Bhakta Gana ki jai, Sri Gurudeva ki jai.